Welcome to David Clark's We Are Superman podcast, episode number 146. I am your host, Bill Stahl, and this is The Power Play. I know I promised a Power Play episode about consistency, and please bear with me here. Be patient. I'm going to get to that here in a roundabout way. Quite a bit of news and events that occurred this past week I wanted to run through a little bit. First thing is I've just been in baseball nirvana here all week in Denver. We had the All-Star game here on Tuesday, so it started off with the Futures game on Sunday, and the Home Run Derby on Monday, which far exceeded my expectations. Boy, that was exciting to watch players like Shohei Ohtani hit one 510, excuse me, and the game in general, since he was not only batting leadoff for the American League, but he was also the starting pitcher. So pretty remarkable there. And, a great time with the All-Star game itself, just an awful lot of fun. I mean, I got to meet so many ballplayers, as I mentioned earlier. I was volunteering down at the convention center during the play ball park, as they called it. I got to meet lots of ballplayers. I ran into Goose Gossage, Hall of Fame relief pitcher, on the street. And boy, I tell you, the guy's crazy. I talked to him for 30 minutes. He's like the crazy uncle you can't get rid of. He was just ranting about how he doesn't like the way a lot of things are in baseball right now. But he's 70 years old. He looks great. He signed my C.C. Sabathia book that I have, that I bought. And it was a trip talking to this Hall of Famer, one of the best relief pitchers ever. I got to have my picture taken with Roberto Clemente's kids. I got to meet, talk a little with Bert Campaneris, who most of you probably don't know who he is. He was a ball player from when I was a kid. He played for the Oakland A's mostly. Actually, started with Kansas City A's. I had him sign his rookie card from the Kansas City A's. And here's a little trivia here that's pretty amazing. He's one of only a few players to ever play every position on the baseball field in a major league game in one game. So he played all nine positions, and here's what I thought was really interesting. I didn't know before, but when he pitched, when it was his turn to pitch in that game, he pitched ambidextrously. So he pitched lefty to the left-handed batters and righty to the right-handed batters. I mean, that just kind of blows me away. So I tried to ask him if he could still do that, but I don't think he speaks English very well. So, but it was kind of fun. I mean, just met all these great ball players, and I'm going to get back to it here in a little bit about all the people I met who are here in Denver, people who traveled to Denver for specifically for the All-Star game, fans of other teams. It was remarkable. And the energy downtown was amazing. Just walking down the streets around Lodo where Coors Field is, they were just packed with people, and it just seemed like old times, you know, like pre-pandemic, where there was just so much energy and excitement to have the first All-Star game post our whole lockdown situation, everything. So it was great. We're just having the All-Star game here in Denver was just so much fun. And so, like I said, I'm pretty fired up about that, being the huge baseball fan that I am. On a downer note, though, a couple of things with baseball this week that really kind of highlighted some of the issues we have in this country right now. We had a scare at Coors Field. You may have heard in the news. There were some people who had a hotel room that was overlooking Coors Field, and the room was loaded with guns and, as it turns out, drugs and ammunition, everything. I mean, supposedly they had no designs on harming people at Coors Field, but I don't know. It was spooky thinking that I was out there, you know, walking around on the streets there outside Coors Field while these people were in a hotel across the street with a whole arsenal in there. People talked about it was going to be, you know, these folks may have had a designs on a Las Vegas style situation. So that's pretty spooky to think about. And we'll see during their investigation what comes out of that. Right now they're denying they had any designs on harming people at Coors Field. But then Saturday night, you had an incident at the Nationals game in Washington, D.C., where three people got shot outside the park. Players were scrambling into the dugout. They were actually funneling fans even into the dugouts, anywhere that was safe, because of the fear factor that was going on with these shootings that took place. Three people got shot outside Nationals ballpark there. And, it just points, we have such a gun problem in this country. And I'm not going to sit here and offer solutions because, you know, we are well past the point where we could just, you know, do something like take away guns or, you know, and I don't think, you know, despite what a lot of people think, you know, I don't think they're designed to take away guns, but there needs to be some solutions here. And it just, it keeps frustrating me that we don't come up with any fresh ideas here or the ideas. I mean, we're just at a stalemate with it. Every time there's a school shooting or mass shooting anywhere, we talk about hopes and, you know, thoughts and prayers, and we talk about doing something and nothing happens. And here we are, we had a whole ballpark that was just in terror. They had to suspend the game and they did end up completing it the next day. But man, we got some issues we got to deal with there. So, but a couple of the other things that happened this week that were really cool is yesterday or Saturday, I ran, did the Run for Justice with the Black Men Run Denver. Great group. I've mentioned these folks before. There are chapters of Black Men Run all over the country. I really got involved with them after the Ahmaud Arbery very tragic killing there. It kills me that there are Black people who can not sometimes run without feeling nervous. It just absolutely blows me away that that could be the case. I mean, I've run in some really bad neighborhoods in my lifetime, but you know what, being a white male, I've never really felt that uncomfortable. But, you know, in the case of Ahmaud Arbery, as you know, he was running through an upscale neighborhood in Florida and got himself gunned down here by some, you know, white people who didn't like him being there for some reason. And just, you know, so I got involved with Black Men Run, and we did, it was a virtual run this year, but they had this Run for Justice throughout the country. We had some folks who ran 5K and some ran up to 5 miles. So that was great to be able to get out there. And I would encourage you, if you live in a major city, get involved with Black Men Run. It's a great organization and certainly for a very good cause, because, you know, there is absolutely no reason why anybody in this country shouldn't be able to have the freedom to go out and take a run and have to feel nervous about that. It's just, it's kind of crazy. So, today I got to run up on Magnolia Drive up in Boulder, very famous place. If you ever read the book Running with the Buffaloes, you read about that there, and just did my longest run in quite a long time there. Did about 12 and a half miles. So my progress continues as I'm getting back, and you know, saw a bunch of college teams up there practicing. A lot of other folks who came from out of town were just up there running because they know what a famous route that is. For those of you guys who don't know, it's above Boulder. You drive up Boulder Canyon, and most of it is between 8,000 and 9,000 feet elevation. It's a rolling dirt road. I mean, a few steep climbs there, but great workout place there, and you know, very famous route to run on there. And so you often see a lot of pro runners there. You'll often see like the Japanese and some African teams practicing up there. Of course, right now with the Olympics coming up, they're not really there for the most part because they are hopefully headed towards Tokyo, but so it is very cool to be able to run up there. So that was pretty cool. One thing that happened to me this week that was pretty interesting, I wanted to talk to you about especially, is I was sitting down on Wednesday. I have a book that was sent to me by a pretty famous author who I'm planning on interviewing on the We Are Superman podcast. And, you know, I procrastinated a few minutes. I opened up my social media and I saw that Hella Sidipe was going to be doing a run in Denver 40 minutes later from where I was sitting. And I'd already run that day and I was sipping my afternoon smoothie. And I've wanted to meet Hella like crazy ever since I heard him on the Rich Roll podcast a few weeks ago. And this guy is the first Black man to run across the United States. And he has a heck of a story. I mean, you know, he actually got stopped a couple times by police who doubted what a Black man could possibly be doing running across the country. There was one time in Oklahoma, he got confronted by a police officer who had his hand on his gun asking, like, what are you doing out here? And all he was doing, he was out running. And fortunately, somebody else who knew that he was in town actually happened to stop by at the same time, ran up and said, "Hella, how you doing?" And, you know, very excitedly, basically put the cop at ease that everything was okay there. So, you know, kind of a crazy situation, but, Hella is the epitome of consistency, which again, I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. Hella has a running streak going now for, more than 1500 days, which would be somewhere around, 5 years, I should say. And, The guy is the most upbeat, positive guy you'd ever want to meet. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing the energy he has, the optimism. I mean, he came from the country of Mali, Africa, so he didn't have much. He came to the United States, and he was a soccer player at the University of Massachusetts and, you know, found his way with running. And he's, you know, obviously accomplished an awful lot running across the country. He plans to run the Leadville 100 in 2022, so... you know, got to know him a little bit. He lives in Jersey City now, and hopefully maybe I can give him some help here to get going for running the Leadville 2022. And I hope to have him on the podcast here in the near future. We connected real well. Some of the gravy there also was another person there who happened to be there who you may have heard of is Nick Simmons, a two-time U.S. Olympian in the 800 meters and inventor of Run Gum. If you hadn't heard of Nick, maybe you've heard of Run Gum, seen that in running stores or what have you. And I didn't know much about him you know, personally. I mean, I knew about who he was, what he'd accomplished, but a super cool guy. Really enjoyed chatting with him as well. So that was an added bonus. And then another guy that was a very huge bonus was meeting a guy by the name of Devin Levesque. This guy is a 29-year-old entrepreneur. And this guy's accomplished so much. I mean, he's got a coffee company that's really taking off. I think its capitalization is probably in eight figures. He's involved with the Gymshark, the you know, clothing company. But a couple of things that just blew me away is hearing some stories is he was showing me pictures on his phone of he did the New York City Marathon course bear crawling. So bear crawling, basically, you know, feet and hands on the ground, and he crawled the 26.2-mile New York City Marathon course that way. It took him 20 hours and 48 minutes, and he was doing it to raise funds for suicide prevention programs among veterans. Devin had told me he lost his own dad when he was 16 years old to suicide, and definitely just doesn't want other kids to have to go through the same kind of experience. So that's what he was doing out there, doing this bear crawl. And then he shows me a picture there. He says, well, as a result of what he'd been accomplishing, here's a picture of him with Joe Biden the day before. So he got to meet the president. It just kind of blows you away. Another great story he was telling me is he was doing the 29-029 challenge up in Idaho. For those of you not familiar, it is 29029 is the height in feet of Mount Everest. So what you do in these challenges, you try to climb 29,029 feet in vertical up and down a mountain, basically as fast as you can. I think Colin O'Brady, one of my personal idols, a guy who's done some incredible mountaineering and crossed Antarctica solo. I think he was one of the originators of this particular challenge. So Devin was there doing the challenge in Idaho, and he left in the middle of it with the owner of the Atlanta Hawks basketball team. They flew in the Hawks owner's private jet to Atlanta, caught one of the Hawks basketball NBA playoff games that were going on a few weeks ago, and then flew back to Idaho on the private jet and finished the challenge. So kind of a crazy story there, but super, super positive guy. I just loved meeting this guy. I hope to have him on the podcast as well. It would be a great conversation. So my point here with this part of the conversation is, you know, take advantage of every situation that comes your way, because you know, like I was sitting there ready to read a book, and I saw that these guys were going to be in Washington Park in Denver in 40 minutes. I was probably about a 20-minute drive away. I quickly ran in, threw on my running clothes, and you know, grabbed some stuff and headed out there, and you know, barely made it out there. And yeah, I ran with them. I'll tell you what, that afternoon smoothie I'd had wasn't sitting real good at that point. I wasn't really expecting to be running after having consumed that, but. But you know, don't pass opportunities to meet people. And, like I say, I took advantage of it, and, you know, I got to meet, you know, not one, two, but three really awesome people that I hope, you know, I can develop some sort of, long-term relationship with, and who knows where those kind of things lead to, because these guys were just amazing. And the whole time at the baseball All-Star game, as I mentioned, I was working down at the convention center. I met so many people. I mean, I talked with people from all over the country. You know, of course, I all had a common interest in baseball, but, you know, I'm one of those people. It's kind of annoying to people I'm with. I stop and talk to people everywhere, and you know, sometimes you don't want to get me started talking. Even today up in Magnolia Road, I started talking to this dad and his wife and his son who were up there running, they were from New Jersey. And we ended up having a long chat about, you know, they came out here to Colorado. They were doing all sorts of different things. And the son had actually come to a cross-country camp at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And so I just have a tendency to talk to people, but you make connections. And, you know, especially post-pandemic, it's nice to kind of get out there and talk to people in person instead of being shut in. But, you know, so often just doors open for you. You never know the kind of connections you make and just enriches you. I mean, even if I never see you talk to some of these people again, the insights you can learn from them, the experiences you can share, just the positivity that I could share with them and everything. I just love it. So that's kind of the bottom line of my large digression there before I talk more about consistency there. So, you know, as I mentioned, Hella, and by the way, if you want to find Hella, he's at Hella Good. So his first name is H-E-L-L-A-H, Hella Good, G-O-O-D, numeral 9. Definitely follow him on Instagram. The guy is just amazing. But he is the model of consistency. I mean, he's out there every day. He tells a lot of stories. If you listen to that Rich Roll podcast episode, it's a really good episode. I would highly recommend it. I mean, he talks about some of the things he's done to keep this streak going. I mean, you know, sometimes waking up at odd hours, you know, 2 a.m. because he's got a, you know, early morning flight he's got to catch or something like that. But, you know, here's a guy who has made a commitment. I mean, he was not born a runner. He, you know, found running later on, as I mentioned, after a soccer career. He's found it's something he loves. It's something that, you know, gives him a lot of joy, a lot of positives in his life. And so he makes sure to keep this streak running. And so, you know, that kind of consistency is huge. And, you know, it doesn't even just apply to running. It applies to just about anything you do. If you want to make a lifestyle change, you have to apply that consistently. There's a young man that I coach who he drives me crazy because he seems to think that about once a week he needs to have a cheat day. And cheat day is one of those just four-letter words in my mind. I hate that term. I mean, if you're trying to make a change, if you're trying to have a better diet, for instance, eat better, you can't just have a cheat day once a week. You're simply not going to succeed if that is your attitude. So that's definitely the case of you're going to be taking one step forward and two steps back all the time, every time you think you need to have a cheat day. There's just, you know, no reason for that. I understand, like, if you're running, you know, sometimes you have a recovery day. I don't consider that a cheat day. But if you think, you know, hey, I've earned, you know, I've eaten well for 6 days, and now I'm going to sit down with a pint of Ben and Jerry's, well, you know, you're going to undo all the good that you've had. So, and it applies to any kind of lifestyle changes that you are trying to make. You know, it could be, you know, let's say drinking. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we know with alcoholics, that's not going to work. You stay sober for 6 days and you decide you need one cheat day and go get drunk. Well, guess what? Your whole plan has just gone in the toilet right there. So, it all comes down to consistency. It's just, it's huge to be able to, you know, stick with what you're working on and be dedicated. And I know people are busy in the summer. I hear a lot of stories, well, I'm on vacation and then, you know, I really don't have time. I'll tell you what, I honestly think it is easier to stay consistent when you're on vacation. You know, I was on vacation in April, for instance, visiting my family back in Georgia for the first time in a year and a half. And you know what? I woke up every single day before anybody else in the house was up, and I went out there and got my run in first thing in the morning. And, you know, after that, you can do all those other, you know, vacation kind of things, and you don't have to worry about when am I going to get my workout in. It's a matter of, again, it was so much easier than even being home where I've got all these things going on sometimes in the morning. When I'm on vacation like that, I had nothing scheduled in particular. I could just get up and run every morning, which just makes it so much easier. And just in general, you know, I'll tell the kids I coach that if you want to be consistent, you know, you have to plan things out. And I'll tell the kids I coach, I know every single night when I go to bed when I'm going to work out the next day. And obviously, you know, sometimes there can be a little bit of give and take there. But yeah, I know it's like an appointment I've made. I know when I go to bed that maybe I'm going to be getting up first thing in the morning and doing the run then, or maybe say with one of the groups I coach on Thursday evenings, I'm going to be running in the evening, whatever it is. But I already know when I'm going to be working out. I also know what I'm going to be doing. You know, maybe it's a day where I'm going to be at the gym, or maybe I'm going to be running, you know, this part of the morning and maybe doing some home gym stuff in the afternoon. But whatever it is, it's already planned out. And that way, It's just like any kind of appointment setting, you stick to it. And that is, to me, the best way to maintain your consistency out there is know ahead of time when you're going to work, when you're going to be working out, when you're going to run, you know, whatever it is. That is the best way to stay consistent, because that consistency is what is going to lead to growth. And, you know, right now I'm feeling like I'm on a good trajectory. As I mentioned, I did my longest run in a while here. Things are picking up. And it's all for making sure that I don't make excuses. And that's a lot of part about what consistency is all about, is you don't make excuses out there. And, you know, I saw a couple really good examples of pro athletes who are showed amazing consistency. You know, when I went to the Home Run Derby Monday night, it was won by Pete Alonso of the New York Mets. And that guy is not the greatest baseball player in the world, but there is one thing he can do really well. He won the Home Run Derby last year, and he won it again this year. And in the final round, he needed to hit like 6 home runs in the last minute. And that guy had a swing that was reminiscent of a PGA Tour golfer. If you ever see one of those guys, say, on the driving range, they can just replicate the same swing over and over and over. And, you know, when you groove a swing like that, that's what's going to lead to success. And Pete Alonso, when he needed it at the end, it was like he could hit those home runs at will. It was kind of like, you know, the way you think about Michael Jordan was back in the day. Just the guy was automatic. But Pete Alonso just stroked 6 straight home runs. I mean, there were just no doubt about everyone. Boom, game over. He won that $1 million for being the Home Run Derby champ. And again, he's not the greatest ball player in the world. He's very good, but he won that Home Run Derby just by being able to groove a swing and being consistent. And another one I saw was Colin Murakawa, I guess it is, who won the British Open golf tournament. He earlier in this year won the, I'm trying to remember if it was the U.S. Open or the PGA. I guess Phil Mickelson won the PGA, so I guess it was the U.S. Open he won. But 24 years old. And he's already like the second fastest ever to win 2 majors. And I think he's actually the only other player besides Tiger Woods to win the U.S. Open and the British Open before the age of 25. But it's just amazing how consistent this young man's swing is, but also it's his demeanor. I mean, he went out there, I saw his post-tournament interview, and he talked about how he just went out there to enjoy himself. And you know, the joy showed in his face, and he didn't seem to feel pressure at 24 years old, winning 2 of the biggest trophies in all of golf. And, but it was that whole consistency. He just went out, hit great shots. His swing was smooth. He was putting great. He's not even known as a great putter, but man, he just had that perfect metronome kind of putting stroke on those undulating greens on that course in southeastern England, and was able to put away a really good field, including Jordan Spieth, who was 2nd, and John Rahm, who was 3rd. So really impressive what a 24-year-old was able to do. And it came down to he's worked very consistent on his practice. He's got a very smooth, very consistent swing. And so, you know, that would be my message to all of you, is maintain that consistency in everything you do. That's what's going to lead to success. It could be even just, you know, if you need to accomplish a project and, you know, you have maybe 2 hours to do it each day, you know, maybe you can't, you know, focus on it one day, then set a time and set aside those 2 hours every day, get that accomplished until you can knock out that project. Again, if you're trying to work on self-improvement, it's something you've got to work on every day. I mean, it's more than just the 21 days creating a new habit. It is a matter of putting it into action every single day. If you're trying to overcome an addiction or alcoholism, it's got to be something you practice every day. Something like if you want to get into meditation, more relaxation, if you want to get a bit better sleeping. I mean, as they talk about all the time, better sleep comes from being consistent in the time you go to bed. You know, if you decide to stay up till 4:30 in the morning some of the time, your sleep pattern is going to be all over the place. So that's my message for you on consistency. I hope some of that's helpful. Reminder about the American Heroes Run Challenge. Please get a hold of me if you would like to go from couch to American Heroes Run or couch to ultra marathon portion of it. I'm looking for 10 runners to go ahead and train with me and being able to accomplish your summer running goals here that may have fallen off the chart a little bit here. So the American Heroes Run is coming up on September 11th. We've got 5K, 9.11 miles, half marathon, marathon, 24-hour, and 100-mile versions. And you know, love to see you out there in Longmont, Colorado. If you sign up with me, it's going to cost $76 per month. You will receive personal coaching from me. You'll get 50% off any of the American Heroes Run races with if you do it either in person in Longmont or if you do it virtually. That's a value of anywhere from $25 to $87.50. And you will get a choice of your copy of one David Clark book, either Out There, Broken Open, or Eat Shit and Die. So you're getting a great value there. But let's go ahead, knock out some of those summer running goals. So please get a hold of me either at silly_billy@msn.com, or you can hit me up via Facebook or Instagram messengers. And those that part is all listed in the show notes. So, you know, let's get after it. So if you enjoyed the podcast, the best thing you can do is share it with your friends on social media, please. Please take a minute and give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. These 5-star ratings help us rise higher in the podcast services search algorithms, helping more people find our show. The We Are Supermen podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts. And please drop me a note and let me know what you think of the We Are Superman podcast. Your feedback is important because I'd like to keep providing you content that is meaningful on a similar kind of level that David was able to provide to you. So thank you again for listening to the We Are Superman podcast. And until next time, please get your vaccination. I've seen what's happened with the New York Yankees, the Colorado Rockies this week, losing a whole bunch of players because even though they're supposedly vaccinated, you know, that virus is still out there. The Delta variant especially is hitting us hard, so let's not go backwards. Please get your vaccination, and we can get back to doing all the things we like to do, like going to All-Star games and concerts and visiting our families and things like that. And until next time, always be positive.